You're listening to Marriage Minute with Pastors Richard and Donna Spears, impacting marriages that leave a lasting legacy. Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Marriage Minute with Pastor Donna here. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you get a chance, would you please just like and share this broadcast and all of our broadcasts to get the word out, because we want marriages to be healed and whole in Jesus' name, so that your children and their children and their children can leave a legacy that you all can be proud of. That's why we do what we do. So welcome again to the Marriage Minute. I am Pastor Donna. We are going to dive right in. So last week we talked about what not to do when you're in conflict with your spouse. If you missed that, go back and take a listen and take a look at that. Shared a lot of good little tidbits of information, things that you probably weren't aware that maybe you were doing. And, you know, it's all about recognition, right? It's all about understanding why we do what we do, understanding and recognizing that we actually are operating not in a healthy way towards our spouse and in our marriage. And so that's something that we need to be aware of. What are we doing that triggers our spouse? What are the things that cause some conflict in your marriage and in your relationship? So this week, as promised, I am talking about and bringing to you how to fight fair when you are in conflict with your spouse. Because truth be told, you are going to be in conflict with your spouse. I don't care how seasoned you are. I don't care how many years you have behind you or how great you are at communication. You are going to have conflict with your spouse. You're living with them 24/7. And you guys, yeah, you mold together, you do life together, but you're two unique individuals. And that's a good thing. God made each of you individual, each of you unique, and that's a good thing, but there's going to be a rub at some point, and that's okay. And so we need to have things like Marriage Minute or whatever is out there to help us understand that, okay, we're number one, we're not alone in this. And secondly, what do I do when I find myself in a situation where I'm in conflict with my spouse, and I realize that what I do and how I handle it is not the right way to go about it. So last week we talked about the ultimate example, right? Jesus is the ultimate example. I'll be speaking more about him tomorrow. But he's the ultimate example and model for peacemaking. He brought disruption, as I mentioned last week, in order to bring true peace. You know, we can walk around with false peace. A lot of us do that. You know, I'm guilty of that as well, because we don't want to rock the boat and we don't want people to be upset with us. But Jesus himself brought disruption to bring true peace. He didn't avoid conflict just to appease people and to bring, a false truth to where, you know, you're feeling like, okay, this is resolved and we're good. And when under the surface, it's just not. And he didn't ignore tension and differences in order to have that false peace. And so we need to look at scripture, and we need to look at his example for how do we handle our spouse, handle ourselves when we're in conflict with each other. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." That's a goal for me. I want to be called and am called a daughter of the one true King. And that's what our goal is in our relationship with our spouses. Amen. So this week, I'm going to bring to you how to resolve conflict fairly in your marriage. And you know, we find that answer. It's so cool because I love the Bible. And we find every answer to every one of life's issues and problems in the Bible. And to find the answer and how we handle conflict fairly and justly with our spouse, we find it in the Beatitudes. We find it right there in Scripture. The Beatitudes are, I'm not going to read them all. It's Matthew 5:3-11. And he explains to us the characteristics we need to display if we're going to engage in true peacemaking. It talks about poverty of spirit, meekness, purity of heart, mercy, seeking righteousness, all of that in the Beatitudes. That is the attitude that we need to be in order to resolve conflict conflict in our marriage fairly and justly. You know, many of us believe that if we just love well, if we love our spouse well, then conflict is resolved, right? It's somehow like if we love well, loving well and being in marriage, it's automatically learned. I know what I don't want to do, you know, but we do underestimate the depth of our bad habits that we learned growing up. And we talk a lot about, you know, how we grew up and what we experienced growing up affects how we handle and how we ourselves handle conflict, handle our spouse, handle communication, handle intimacy, all of that, handle raising our children. All of that stems from what you saw growing up and what you experienced growing up. And a lot of us enter into relationship and marriage thinking that what we saw growing up and what we experienced growing up is the correct way to handle everything. But a lot of times, 99% of the time, you know, it's skewed. You know, even if you didn't, there are people out there that my mom and dad never fought. They never said a coarse word to one another. They were perfect. I'm here to tell you that that's not the case, because behind closed doors, they were having conversation. They were having conflict. They just didn't want to do that in front of you. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't know. But I think what that does is sets someone up for an ideal in a marriage that is unattainable, because you enter into a marriage and you think that this is my soulmate. We're connected. We both complete one another, which we've talked about. The only person that completes you is God, is Jesus Christ. And when we have this ideal that this person is, that our marriage is going to be perfect, we're never going to fight and we're never going to have conflict, it leads to frustration and disappointment. And so when we really truly understand that we've developed some bad habits along the way, unbeknownst to you, on how to handle conflict, how to talk, even just to how to communicate. When we understand that, hey, maybe we're not doing the best that we can here, that's when change can happen. And that's when things get real in your marriage and they get deeper and more intimate. And that's the level that we want you to get with your spouse. So to resolve conflict as Jesus did, or as he would have, We have to recognize that what we're doing currently and what we're doing now is unhealthy. And so in order to make a change, like I've been saying, we have to learn, we have to understand and know that what we're doing now is not right. And that's a hard pill to swallow. It's a little jagged pill, I always say, because when something is brought to my attention that I'm not doing correctly, I immediately go to, oh my gosh, I'm a bad person. I'm not good enough. I just need to stop. I need to turn around and run. Old me would do that. But that's not what's happening. What's happening is, thank you, Lord. There's a recognition that I need to grow in this area. And we all need to be seeking maturity in every area of our life. We all need to be seeking growth in every area of our life. And so to learn how to fight cleanly, it's going to be one of the most important skills you ever learn. The most important. And it's not just for your spouse, but, you know, we're talking marriage here with a marriage minute. It's for every area of your life, your children, your boss, your coworkers, your sisters and brothers in Christ. It's for everyone, every area of your life. And so, okay, I hear you, Pastor Donna. I hear you telling me, you know, hey, I need to change. I need to do things differently. So what do I do? I am so glad you asked, because I want to tell you. So remember, a clean fight is about breaking the negative generational patterns through Holy Spirit. It's allowing God to break those negative generational patterns. And that sentence there, it carries a lot of weight, because we don't want to blame our parents. We don't want to think that our parents led us astray, and they didn't intentionally. They did what they learned from their parents, and their parents did what they learned from their parents. But we have to understand that breaking a generational pattern means that okay, now this wall is now here. You're over here, and you're moving forward with a new way of conflict resolution, a new way of loving your spouse, a new way of communicating with your spouse and your family. And you're putting this wall here. You're putting the cross between that and your past. Amen. And so what has happened in the past doesn't have to continue into your future. The negative patterns, generational patterns that have been passed down from generation to generation, that's why it's called a generational pattern, it can stop with you. Because we can, you can make that change. And that's what we need to do. We need to understand that it's not pointing a finger at our parents. They were doing the best that they could. And they did the best that they could and what they knew how to do. And so it's okay to have a recognition and an awareness of like, okay, maybe I want to do something different. But when you start having like a negative heart attitude towards and you're starting to blame, that's not the way to go. Like I said, they were doing the best that they knew how. And you are doing the best that you know how. And now you're going to make a change. So we place the cross between those that the past and going forward, and you do a new thing for your family. You do something different. So it's about breaking those negative generational patterns, and it's about a negotiation. So between two people for the sake of the relationship. And this is a new thought for me when I did this some time ago. We went through the EHR classes with my husband, and that was a new thought that conflict is, it's not yelling and screaming and storming off and silent treatment and all those negative things that I talked about last week. Or blaming or attacking, you're in a negotiation. And the goal, the end goal is the relationship. The end goal is we want to walk away from this negotiation, conflict, if you will, where both parties feel heard and both parties, there's resolution that is beneficial to both. And so research shows that 96%, this just blew my mind, 96% of arguments are determined in the first 3 minutes. So if you think about the last argument you had with your spouse, the first 3 minutes determine how the outcome, right? So it matters how you start your conversation with your spouse, because you can start in an accusatory way and ramble on for 3 minutes, and the argument, it's already decided because your spouse is going to give up or fight back, and there's no resolution. And so if you find yourself starting off poorly, you know, think about the Beatitudes, meekness of heart, seek purity of heart, mercy, grace, forgiveness, all of that. If you find yourself starting in an old pattern, I'll just say that the material says starting off poorly, starting in an old pattern, you're blaming, you're accusing, you're yelling, you're whatever it is. It really, truly is. And this is a pride thing you guys are going to have to work on. It really, truly is okay to be like, you know what? Time out. Totally my fault. I started off. My tone was wrong. My facial expressions were wrong. I already knew that you're at fault. And I just need to start over. Can I have a do-over, please? And I'm telling you what, I have had to do this when Pastor Richard and I first started working through all of this and how we communicated with one another. I had to do that. And I'm telling you what, for me to drop the pride and be like, time out, I was wrong, that just deflates all of this anger. It just helps to bring a peace over it, because it's just amazing what that can do. And for your spouse to be like, oh my gosh, this is something new and something different. And yes, let's start over. And so you just take a deep breath and you start over. And it's really like, I can't stress enough how important it is when you, okay. So here's what I see a lot in conflict, when I watch conflict play out in relationships, because I see it in our children. I see it in other marriages. I see it in other relationships. When the person that would, okay, me, when I start off poorly and I start off in an accusatory way, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this. I'm going to say you have, but at some point you're dug in and you realize you're wrong. But by golly, you're not going to admit it, and you're not going to let your spouse know that you're wrong. So you're digging in, and it's just ridiculous how crazy you look and sound when you're dug into a point that you know that you're wrong. And so that has happened a lot. Pastor Richard can attest on my side. I don't know if he would say that he's done that, but for me, because if I was wrong, then he didn't love me, right? Or if I did something wrong, then there was no love there. And so that was hard, a hard pill for me to swallow. And it is a prideful thing, from fear, obviously. But it's one thing that's, if that's you out there and you are digging in and you know that you're wrong, take a deep breath. Please just allow the Lord to just calm you down and say, you know what? I was wrong. Can I start over? Please forgive me. And whoo, that just goes a long way. And if Richard were here, he would say amen to that. So conflict is normal. It's important and it's necessary if a relationship's going to the next level. You know, if you start your marriage and you never argue, your guys are always just, yep, you know, then where does that, I'm not saying you have to have knockdown dragouts to go to the next level, but you learn a lot about people when you have a different opinion and you work through with respectfulness to see the other person's, you know, side of things in the other person's opinion. And so it's necessary. Conflict is necessary to go to that next level in your relationship. So let's start in. So clean fighting begins with, as you guys could probably imagine, it begins with self-awareness. Everything, you're only responsible for yourself. We say this all the time. You are only responsible for yourself. So it's preparing yourself for the conversation. What are you feeling right now? What are your emotions? It's okay to take a moment to assess where you're at. It's actually very wise to do that. Because if you are coming into your conversation with your spouse about a topic, then, and you're already fired up and you are just wanting to prove a point, you know that in your heart. And so you have to prepare yourself. You have to be self-aware. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling so torqued up right now? And what caused me to be this way? So you have to you got to self-reflect. The first step is self-awareness. You have to prepare yourself. Now, I know that on the front end of Richard and I working on our conflict resolution, working on communication and hearing one another, I had to do that a lot because my go-to emotion was anger. And you get nowhere when you are still angry and you're wanting to prove a point and the enemy can just get in there and use that to throw daggers and that's just not a good way to start it. So you have to understand why you're feeling the way you're feeling, what you're feeling, excuse me, and where it came from. And then you have to allow God to just calm you down and let you know when it's okay to enter into a conversation or a negotiation with your spouse. The second thing is you got to understand your values. So if you enter into conflict with your spouse, but you don't know what you value, and I'll explain more a little bit later here when I give an example, you know, what do you value? Do you value trust, honesty, partnership, respect, personal responsibility? What is it that you value in this moment? What are you valuing in this moment and in this conversation? You know, during the situation, you know, did you violate that? You know, this sounds like a lot, like, oh my gosh, I have to just think about so much just to even have a conversation with my husband. It's just easier if we just scream at each other and then we're done. Really? Okay. Well, that does nothing for growth. That's just immaturity. And this is about learning and understanding so you can have mature conversation and mature resolution to issues. So when we understand our values, you know, we don't enter into, let's say, a clean fight is what I'm going to call it. We don't enter into a clean fight with our fingers pointed. You know, we're attacking our spouse or blaming or accusing, because, you know, that's kind of the goal in trying to get somebody to be quiet, you know, on a situation, is to be the louder person, you know, to just quiet them down. And that's just unhealthy. So approaching a clean fight, here is, you know, yes, self-awareness and what do you value? And that'll become more clear when I give you an example. But, you know, for the speaker, so I have an issue, right? So for me, here's some steps that you need to understand. For me, I'm bringing an issue to my husband, and I'm not blaming, I'm not pointing a finger, and I'm not attacking, because you don't really know the motivation of his heart. A lot of spouses think, you know, I know what he's thinking. I know what he's going to do. I know what he's going to say. No, you don't. You don't. Only God knows the motivation of your heart, right? I know the motivation of my heart, and sometimes my assumption of my motivation is skewed. And so I need to go to the Lord and say, was my motivation pure here? And if it wasn't, please let me know, you know, search me, please. So we don't attack and we don't blame. And if that's where you're coming from, then let's just wait. Let's just wait a little bit until you're ready to have a conversation. So the first thing you do is you say, I notice you. So it matters what you say. So you state the problem, and that's not saying you did this and you did that. That's blaming and attacking, right? You say, I notice. So I notice you, da, 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 da. So what did you notice your spouse to do that caused you to be upset? You need to be concrete, and you need to state the problem, okay? Be concrete and state the problem. All of this, if you're throwing in, you made me feel this, I feel that, I'm sad, I'm mad, whatever, and it's just kind of out there for him, you know, it's like make a target and hit the bullseye. You're upset for a reason, so you state the problem. Why are you upset? And a lot of times for me, I didn't know why I was upset. I just knew I was upset, but it took me a minute to get with the Lord and be like, why? Help me. Help me go through this web of emotions that I'm dealing, and what is the core issue that I'm really, really upset about? And after you state the problem, I'll give you an example here in a minute. Why is it important to you? Why is this thing important to you? This is where your value comes in. I value whatever that is. I value honesty, and you weren't honest with me. I value your time, and you didn't spend time with me when you could have. So what is it that you value? And number three, how do you feel about that when you do this? So notice, like, as you're entering into the statements that you know, discipline yourself to start using, I noticed when you did this, and I value, you know, whatever that is. And when you did this, this is what made me feel whatever that was. So when you do this certain thing, I feel dismissed or frustrated or sad or alone. Whatever that is, you're helping that person, your spouse, to understand, okay, I get the main issue. I understand what she values, because she just needs to be with me or away from me or whatever, alone time, whatever that is. And she feels sad when, you know, I was perceiving her as being angry and attacking, but really she's just sad and lonely. And so share your request respectfully, honestly, clearly, and timely. You don't wait for 2 weeks and then be like, hey, I need to talk to you about blah, 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 because it's done and over with. There's a time-sensitive issue. Now, if it's something the Lord's like, you are just ridiculous, Donna. You just need to let that go. And it is not even worth bringing up, because let me tell you that this is why you're feeling this way. And there's been a lot of times where I'm like, as soon as the Lord speaks to me about that, I'm like, you're right. This is crazy. I'm not even bringing it up to him. It has nothing to do with him and everything to do with me. And so, you know, what is it that you're asking of your spouse? Be specific, in order for your spouse to not have to fill in the blanks. It's so important that we don't leave space for our spouse, because I've done this, to write the end of the story, right? To write the conclusion of the story, because a lot of times that comes from the generational stuff. It comes from what you've experienced, and the conclusion or the end of the story is not going to be a good one. So that's for the speaker, right? State your problem. Be clear, be concise, be specific. Do it without the emotion attached. If you can, state why is it valuable to you? What do you care about in this situation? How are you feeling? If you can state how you're feeling without having a breakdown, that's great. You know, that's awesome. If I'm not saying don't have emotion, but I'm saying when you're having the conversation, If emotion is leading you, then you're just not going to get where you need to get to. And share it respectfully and honestly. Now, for the listener, that's a hard one too, you know, because you you have to understand listening versus hearing, right? And you have to understand that you're not here to fix it, right? A lot of times husbands are really guilty of this. Like, I just need to know what you're upset about so I can just do whatever it is you need me to do so I can fix it and we can be done and we can go back to how we were. And that's, if you understand and you just hear how silly that is when I say that, that gets nowhere, that takes you nowhere. So for the listener, as hard as it might be, because you have your own opinion of, and you've written your own story, let's just say, of why she's upset, why, you know, because I did this or she did that and I wasn't, whatever it is, you've got to set that aside. You really have to set that aside and learn to listen to what she or he, you know, could go both ways, is saying. You have to consider, because if you're doing this constructively in the way that I'm asking you to, you're gonna have to consider, what is the request that she's asking of me? And that's gonna come from when you hear what she values, right? Or he values. I don't want to just say it's always the guy. So consider the request and share your perspective. Richard is really good at hearing me out, or listening to me, I should say, and saying, I hear what you're saying. I understand that this made you feel da 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 da. But from my perspective, do you think that it is coming from da 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 da? And so it's taking a moment to slow down and to choose your words in a way that's going to bring resolution to a situation. And secondly, as a listener, are you willing to meet the request or offer an alternative? So you're going to consider what, let's just say it's Pastor Richard and I, he's going to consider what I'm asking of him, and he's listening to what I value. He's listening to how it made me feel. And I'll give an example here in a minute. And then is he willing to meet what I'm asking him to do? And if not, is there an alternative? And so if you can see how you just slow down, self-awareness, you're only responsible for yourself. So let's just say, would you afford this same consideration, this same gentleness of spirit, this same attitude if it wasn't your spouse, if you're talking to your boss, or if you're talking to your coworker, you're talking to your best friend? You know, our spouses sometimes get the leftovers, and that's not fair. They should be getting the very best of us. And so if you wouldn't speak this way and share your concerns and frustration to your best friend or to your boss or to a sister, brother in Christ, then why would you not offer that same consideration to your spouse? Because you should be their number one fan, plain and simple. They deserve the very best of you each and every day. I know that's hard, but they deserve the very best that you have for them. So here's an example. I know you guys are chomping at the bit for that example. All right. I'm going to work through steps. What time is it? Okay. Steps 1 through 4. So here's my problem. And this is this was actually a real problem, a real issue for Richard and I. And here's the problem. I stated the problem. I notice that you have to answer your phone whenever it rings. So whenever it would ring, there's a notification. He was quick to pick that phone up. It didn't matter if we were in conversation. His attention then was to his phone. So I stated the problem. I notice that you have to pick that up. You have to actually give your phone attention every time it dings, rings, or whatever it does. Why is this so? I'm going to state why it's important to me. Why am I bringing this to him? What is my problem? That's my problem. Why am I bringing it? Well, I value our time together. And even if it's just sitting down and watching TV. So when we are sitting down and watching TV together, or we're hanging out and the phone rings, then we're not sitting and watching TV together anymore. So when you are constantly on your phone, I feel lonely and unimportant. That's number 3. How do I feel? So it makes me feel dismissed. It makes me feel like my time with you isn't important to you. Who wouldn't want to know that, right? And I'm saying it in a way that's like, you just don't pay attention to me, you know? No, I feel very dismissed and alone when that phone rings and it doesn't matter what we're doing, you jump on it. And so my request to him, so I'm stating clearly what my request is. I would like to request that you do not pick up your phone as soon as it rings, that you could put that call aside and call back later or the next day. So simple, right? It doesn't have to be anything that's super hard. It was a simple request. It was brought in a way that was, I don't want to say, it wasn't void or unemotional, but it was in a way that I wasn't crying or blaming, or you know how you can see how that situation can go a lot of different ways. But when you state your problem, then he knows exactly what I'm asking, you know, what the issue is, why I might be a little upset and why it's important to me. I value time with you. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with my husband, you know, and that should help him to understand, oh my gosh, she cares about me and she wants to be with me. And so, you know, it really matters. It matters how you handle things. It matters how you talk to each other. And, you know, the difference between successful and unsuccessful conflict resolution, it starts with the heart. It's a heart attitude at the very base of it all. And it's a desire to want better for your marriage. It's a desire to want better, to be better, and to do better for your marriage. That should be everybody's. We are not, Pastor Richard and I, we are not a finished product. We continue to work on our marriage. We continue to work on our communication. We continue to work on our spiritual growth. We continue to work on our intimacy. We continue to work on all of that each and every day and each and every week. And you should too. It's not, you're not put together. God didn't bring you together to endure your marriage. He brought you together so your marriage would be blessed and you would be a blessing to other people. Amen. So clean fighting is about self-awareness and preparing yourself for the conversation to be a good listener. If you don't know what a good listener is, go back a couple years. Listening versus hearing. We did a little bit of a series, one or two episodes on that. It really, it'll change how you look at listening versus hearing. So are you ready? Are you ready to break that cycle of unhealthy communication, unhealthy conflict resolution in your marriage? Do you want better? Do you have a heart attitude that needs change? I'm telling you, that's me sometimes on the daily when I've got stinking thinking and my attitude is just very poor. I'm like, God, I'm not going to sit here and have these thoughts because there's something going on with me. Search me, Lord, and know my anxious thoughts. Prepare a clean heart. Renew my mind and renew my spirit each and every day. And help me to be the best wife, spouse that I can be. And so if that's you and you've not given your life to the Lord, here's your chance. Here's the perfect opportunity to give your life to the Lord so that you can start anew. You can start afresh. You can become a new creation in Jesus Christ. And that is what is promised in the Bible. And his promises are good. And he is faithful to his word. It's not difficult. Thankfully, the Lord made giving your life to him not difficult. Three simple steps. Well, really one, give your life to him. Well, how do we do that? What do we talk about? You have to recognize. The first step is to recognize. You have to recognize that what you're doing, how you're living your life, you have to recognize that you're living in sin and that the sin that you're living in is affecting not only you, because a lot of people want to just say, what I'm doing is not hurting anybody else but me. Really? It's hurting every single person around you. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Your sin is hurting you and it's grieving God. He is grieving for you because he wants you to be free. He wants to set you free from your sin. And then once we realize that, you know what, you're right, my sin is affecting me and everybody around me, then you repent of that. God, please forgive me. I confess that what I'm doing and how I'm living my life isn't just affecting me. It's affecting everybody around me. And I am so sorry. I repent of that. Luke 13:3 says, you will perish. you will perish unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. Repent just means to change direction. Stop doing what you're doing and do the exact opposite. And then you simply receive. You receive the free gift of Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord in your heart and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you commit your heart and your life to Jesus today. It's a free gift. Will you do that today? Will you give your life to Jesus today? I hope that you will. I'm going to say a prayer. And if you repeat this prayer out loud, I want you to do it out loud and from a place of sincerity in your heart, you, my friend, are saved. You will be new and have an eternal life in the kingdom of God, and your eternal destiny will be changed forever. So please repeat this prayer after me. If this is you, Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I believe Jesus died for my sin and he rose from the grave. I turn from my sinfulness. I repent. Please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and into my life and make me a new person in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, see, it was simple. It was short. Wasn't long. Welcome to the family of God. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If you prayed that prayer with me, you called on the name of the Lord. So by the authority of God's word, you are saved and you're born again and you're on your way to heaven from this moment forward. So if you prayed that prayer, just real quick, go to our website, revivalnow.com. On that front page, you'll see, and I just got saved button. It's a red button. Click that, fill out your information, and the Revival Now team will get you some material and information to you to help you on your new journey with Jesus. So thank you so much, guys, for joining me today. I think that's it. We love you here at Revival Now. We're praying for you. We're praying for your marriages, and we're praying for that legacy that you will leave for your children and their children and their children. We love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. Catch all of our podcasts at revivalnow.com and send us your Marriage Minute questions at marriageminute@revivalnow.com.